Welcome back to part two of that classic rock show. We're pleased to have in here in the studio today from Pez Band, Mike Gorman. And from the boys from Illinois is Mike DeFoya and Dirty Dan Buck.
All right, well, this one's for the boys being Mike DeFoya and Dan Buck. Tell us how the boys came together.
Hi, Dirt.
Hey,
I'm Mike. How you doing, man?
They just met.
Want to make a band?
Okay. Well, do we have flour and sugar and stuff?
Yeah, we do. We can make no sugar. Okay. We don't want to be sweet.
No sugar tonight.
No sugar tonight in my coffee. Mm. Well, you know what? We started here. You told me, we talked about Kent Cooper before in an old band. Kent and Dave Angel were in a band called Ultima Thule.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what they call them. And I had a band called the Cock and Bull Band with Gil Piney and I and Easy Dave from The Luxury. And we got to a point where we got kind of getting frustrated with each band. Kent and Mike wanted to get in, or Kent and Dave wanted to get into another band, a little more in your face, hard rock kind of thing. So did I. We were doing like an R&B thing in my band. And so Kent and I got together. Actually, we were at my grandma's house when we got together and said, let's put this band, let's put another band together. So we had another guitar player from his band, but he wasn't strong enough. We needed somebody with a little
great
more.
Vocalist.
A great vocalist.
Yeah,
Rich Wickstone, a great vocalist. But so anyways, it actually came together in my grandmother's kitchen, and we started talking about what we would do, what kind of songs we would do, and that kind of stuff. So we had a couple rehearsals with the original keyboard player and the original guitar player, and it just, they weren't there. I mean, they weren't in that direction that we were going. So Gilly says, Gil and Mike have been friends forever. And so Gil went to Mike and said, hey, I'm in this band. Well, why don't you tell that part of the story?
Well,
sure.
Gilly and I always wanted to have a band together. And, you know, I'm always been this dreamer. I create stuff. But I mean, that's what I do. And Gilly got to join a band in St. Charles with these guys. And I was originally asked, but I was working at this Caterpillar tractor at the time because I wanted to buy guitars. I grew up real poor, so I'm buying my own stuff.
Right.
And I'm working, and Gilly and I were playing together with Scott Kelly, you know, and these other people, guys he played with. And then he joined a Cock and Bull Band. And I go, okay, well, I like that singer, you know. I mean, he's a big jerk, but you know, I like him. No.
I wasn't big back then. I was a little skinny.
Well, you were a lot bigger than me.
A little skinny.
Anyway, so, and he was telling me about it. And then I, you know, and like I said, I was working nights and stuff. And I was like, okay, well, check this out. And I don't know, we just, they didn't think they needed another lead guitar player because I taught Gilly how to be this rock and roll player instead of just like everybody else was, you know. And so they go, that's enough. And Gil goes, no, with me and Mike together, we can really.
Yeah, Gilly sold it.
Yeah, he sold it.
Gilly sold it.
He goes, oh, I need him. And they're going, you don't need Gil. You don't need anybody else, Gil. Yeah. And Gil goes, he told me the whole story. And he goes, no, I told him I need you. I go, you didn't have to do that, Gil.
And we really like the idea of double leads.
Yeah, really, we were the bookends.
And then a couple months later, our keyboard player that we had, Rusty Hopkins, he had an issue at home, couldn't continue playing keys for us. So we put out an ad. Remember that when we put that ad out? And I forget where it was at.
I was kicked out at that time. I was out of the band. I was out of the band for 3 weeks when you got Anatoly. And I came in, first day I came back, you got Anatoly.
Where did you advertise in those days? The Reader?
No, I think it was the Illinois Entertainer.
I don't think they even had an Entertainer yet.
Didn't they?
No, it was just it was like a stage pass. And then there was the Triad thing.
You know what?
The Triad magazine. Yeah,
That's a long time ago. Those are really hard memories to pull up. But anyways, it was a local paper, whatever it was.
Okay.
And Anatoly answered the ad, and he came out, and he was really more of a guitar player. But he said, "Well, I can do some keyboards."
But he's a good. His brother played guitar, actually.
Wally played, right.
Vladimir. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were in Zipperfoot, in a band. And Steve Missel played drums on White Rope Wedding later for Billy. Yeah,
Wedding.
I'm in New York playing, and somebody asked me to do a session for this band. It's like, it was a disco punk thing. I go, what is it? He goes, it's Billy Idol guy. They love my playing, but I said no. I go,
maybe you should have done
it. Okay.
Maybe you should have done it.
I mean, New York City has a lot of studio cats, and you have a chance to make money outside of the city. Well, I'd be going for it. But anyway,
so
yeah.
So what year was that, Mike, then? Was that 75?
He joined in 76.
76, okay.
Because I joined, me and Scott Larson joined January 5th. I'm Mr. Memory. I'm
He's here. Got all that stuff. He knows all that.
75, and then...
I don't.
Yeah, and I that's, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's how we started. Okay. I mean, that's how we got together, and it all came...
And it worked.
And everything meshed. It was it was a neat thing. Because you always hear bands just going, you know, that guy's out, this guy. But once we got that, once we had the nucleus, but once we got, you know, Mike and Anatoly, it just really was complete. Was complete. And then the rest is history after that.
Yeah, Anatoly loved the boys because of our crash endings. He goes, nobody does a crash ending like you. I go, we do a crash ending on everything.
On every song.
Dirt once made big flashcards, and we'd be an A, and he'd vote a C.
I have signals, and that was an E. Oh, this was an A. This was a D.
Oh yeah,
you know,
F.
Yeah, yeah. F.
That's F. But I mean, E and C and D. Yeah. But I mean, yeah, we do all that too. But yet, remember we
on those endings.
God,
we
made flashcards once, big old flashcards.
Yeah,
just making fun of ourselves.
But they were like, you know, it was a joke, but.
Well, why don't we play one of your songs?
Yeah, why don't we get back to the music?
What do you want
to
do?
All right, let's play a song by the boys, one of my favorites, Too Wild to Tame. Mike and Dan, just tell us briefly a little bit about the song, and we'll rock it out.
It was, it's all the songs that we did basically came from experience. Nothing was fabricated at that time. So we came up with this wild type song because we were a wild type band, and
I remember the first time you played it for us.
Yeah,
in the dressing room at Haymakers.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just going, doing the I got a lie on you bit there. You're like, too wild. I'm going, okay. And then you went down, but and Gilly, I go, oh, let's see, there's something we can hang our hat on.
Yeah, right.
And came up with the riff, down.
So anyway, yeah. So this is Too Wild to Tame.
Yeah.
alive.
Hey Dan, I heard brass in that song, which for a rock and roll band was rare at that time. Did you have somebody famous in the background?
Well, yeah, here's the thing. Steve Popovich, the guy who had Cleveland International Records, thought it'd be kind of neat being a Chicago band because Chicago's historically had a lot of horns in every band that came out of Chicago. Chicago, CTA, and Buckingham's, and on and on and on.
Block.
Yeah, and... So anyways, he thought it'd be kind of fun to do that. I said, we're looking at each other like, no, we're a rock band.
We get the
in
tape.
Your face.
We're at my apartment, and we're all listening to our album, and I was saying, all of a sudden, 2 hours, nah, I'm going,
yeah.
You have your whole life to do a record, and all of a sudden it's like they're turning you into, where's Perry Como now?
What that band?
No, I mean, it was just like, and then they explained it more deeply. They said that Steve Gursky recorded the bass up in the guitar frequencies, and Popovich goes, no bass, rock and roll, and you guys know this, can have not have bass, and you cannot add or subtract EQ on bass, so you have to leave it right where it is. So I had to take Gil and Mike out of the rhythm guitar play in there.
Wow.
And that's what he told me. I'm like going, holy cow, really?
That's not right.
This guy, I mean, he was just a guitar player. He really wanted to be in the band, kind of. You know, he just wasn't a real good engineer that way. You know, how you do.
I was going to just say, but I mean, who I understand are some famous people.
Oh, yeah.
In the brass.
Well, the guys that we ended up with, they actually, Popovich flew me out to New Jersey because while they asked us, they already were doing it. So it didn't matter if we said yes or no.
Yeah,
no,
we.
So they flew me out one night after a gig, and I got into New Jersey.
After Beginnings.
It was a Beginnings
show. Yeah, and then we had to play down south. And you and Dave came out. This one, Dave sat on your chest under the screaming Destin. But
right.
Those horn players, they're from Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Yeah, they're Blood, Sweat, and Tears guys. They ended up with Saturday Night Live and did the Blues Brothers.
Blues Brothers.
So it's Blue Lou Marini, it's Al Rubin.
Bones Malone. Jerry Rubin. Or no,
Jerry.
Jerry. Anyway, but it was Al Di Meola, or no, the guy who wrote the 2001 Space Odyssey, Odyssey instrumental, John Trappé.
John Trappé did the.
Yeah, he's a guitarist who wrote the horn parts.
That's right. So, anyways, those guys, and a lot of people don't realize that those are the horns that are behind us, and those guys are like big deals.
And who are those beautiful backing vocals? Who did that?
I don't know.
Oh.
Well, I love that song.
Thanks, man.
But I got to go back over to Mr. Gorman over there. I got to.
Mikey's over here being relaxed.
He's being so nice and so relaxed. I want to talk about Pez Band a little bit.
You
were always called a power pop band. I don't like labels. I just think you were just straight rock and roll. And so did a lot of other people. And I just want to say some of these quotes that I found that was said to you about your band. One was by Jane Pauley on the Today Show. And she said, this is the sound everyone will be talking about. Hit Parader magazine said, this may be the best American group of the year. Record World, most promising new act of the year. And Rolling Stone, the Bible of rock and roll, said, Laughing in the Dark is one of the best albums of the year. I mean, you guys were just getting all the
accolades.
Thank you for the big words over there.
That's okay. I went to college.
And, both bands were so great. And anyway, I just wanted to get that out there, that Pez Band. Really, he got a lot
of.
You
can tell he's from Oak Park.
Yeah, we stick together, baby. We're going to play another song by Pez Band called Memphis. And, Mike, this song is very important to you. Can you tell us why?
Well, we've all remained friends. All the guys from the band, we've made friends. And a couple of us even live in the same area still. And we get together and record. And they've had versions of Pez Band go out as a three-piece with John Pasden. But we recorded with Mick Rain, who a guy we grew up with, and he passed away just last August. And we had this thing laying around on tape, And so Mimi decided, well, let's finish this up, because this is the last time we ever recorded with Mike. So it was like, yeah, that's right. It's so weird that he's gone. So we finished it up, put it together, and this is what we got.
Well, let's play Memphis by Pez Band, featuring Mike Ruane, a.k.a. Mick Rain, on drums.
Long-distance information.
Memphis by Pez Band, done just a couple of years ago. So
okay, we're going to jump over to the boys, and we're going to do another song titled Wake It Up, Shake It Up.
Screams, 'cause you're playing the fool.
Wake it up.
Boys doing Wake It Up, Shake It Up. Great song.
Oh, you got the title right.
Thank you. All right, we're going to have gonna end part one with a whole bunch of questions. So let's start off with, go down the line here. Give me one word answers.
Oh, geez.
You ready for this one? Live or studio? Dan?
Live.
Yes.
Yes, what?
Both.
Both?
I live. It's live.
Yeah.
Studio's
live.
Ahead.
Mike Gorman?
Yeah. Live.
Live. And all three, both your bands, all three of you guys were just great on stage. Really enjoyed seeing you. Pez Band, again, because of being in the same town, saw you guys several times. Excellent. Okay, and Dan, you've been known for your stage presence. At most live performances, there's a feedback loop between the band and the audience. How does this work for you?
Well, I've said it for 40 years, and with every band I've ever been in, and Mike knows this, it's like I'm redundant with Mike, but
you can
Mike
say that
plays
again.
Guitar. Mike plays guitar. Ken played drums. Dave played bass. Anatoly played, and I played the audience.
Yeah.
That was my instrument. So, and my job was to make sure that they were, all of this was being funneled through me to them. So it was, you know, that's why I, you know, I'm a believer in audiences. Audiences give you something, that intangible thing that nobody can put a finger on, but, and I just call that energy. You know, we put out energy to them, they put the energy back into us, and it's just like this big snowball effect, and then, you know, makes everybody, and the whole deal is just to make everyone happy, have a good time, and have
exactly.
A,
you yeah. know. And Mike T over there, what about you?
Huh?
Yeah, wake up.
Oh, well, oh, I had to wait for, oh, did Dirk count the song off yet?
No.
I'm ready. Okay, yeah, now I'm ready.
Okay, here we go.
No, I love playing off the audience, but like he said, I mean, because I have to do that now. I'm no front man,
yeah,
you know, but I have to get up there and, you know, and interact with the audience, but ours is a whole different deal, but it's the same, it's that interaction, that thing, and, you know, we can, well, what do you say, suck an egg, you know. And,
yeah, suck an egg.
Yeah, I remember watching Dirt, we play like, we go to Huey's in 75, we're brand new, and it's just all full of glass, and it's a disco type room up there by, you know, Sheridan.
Yeah.
And we play it, and then you're in the city, and then we're playing, you know, out in the sticks. Then you play in the middle burbs, and then the north and south burbs. Clip would just get up there. It was just the nut up there, but they were both, they had different styles, but they both had the same focus, you know. Let's get this to them, and then get them with us, and then mix it all up in this big soup, you know.
Well, I you know, if you hit a particularly great riff, or Dan hits a really great note in his vocals, you guys kind of feed off each other as well. And
oh, yeah.
I never noticed anything great because it was always great.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I never noticed anything, you know, that was over the, because at least my recollection, and I generally had a pretty good memory of the boys' stuff, was that everybody could play and we all gave 115%. Not just 100, not 102, 103, not even 98. It was 115. We just overdid it. And but we were so tight. We used to rehearse all the time.
Yeah.
We come home. We used to have the Arcata. It was our room. I mean, we were there every night. I mean, we worked hard and we enjoyed it. I mean, put your milk in a kettle of corn flakes and eat it all up. I mean, he'd come up with these, you know, Peter Wolf things. But, you know, we'd just get the audience going. We'd be out, you know, in Iowa. So you go and put your milk in a kettle of corn. You know, could we just try to make it so it makes sense to these people? And I remember playing Monroe, Louisiana. We played from Tuesday. We left Lockport on Sunday. And we drove all the way down there, and then we
Monroe,
and the Admiral Bimbo. Anyway, and these people are just staring at us like
they didn't know what to think.
What is that? By Saturday though, we love you all, you guys, because we were the same, but even more so because we were like so wild.
Okay, one last question, Mike Gorman. You know, tell us a little bit about your stage act.
Well, the audience is everything.
Yeah,
I mean, we could sit there and play in a room or in my house and enjoy playing, but it's like when you go to a show, you can feel like the closer it's getting to the show, you can feel like the audience, and the audience is the show. And then my job is just to come out and slam them over the head with the most loudest, biggest bass parts ever, possibly cause a heart attack, and then I've done my job. But they're the ones supplying all the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All my stuff's all rehearsed.
Yeah.
So that's the audience is the show.
Well, anyway, that's the end of part one of our conversation with some of the guys from The Boys and one of the guys from Pez Band. Please stay tuned next week when we do part two as we continue our conversation with Dan Buck, Mike DeFoya, and Mike Gorman. Thanks for listening to the Classic Rock Show on Huntley Community Radio, WHRULP 101.5 FM on your radio dial.